like last time I said this piece of word of God that says, my soul finds rest in God alone. So that's what I talk about. I want to go over that bit. But there's another verse that says, David said, he was a prophet 2,000 years before Jesus was born. I had massive favour in God's eyes. And David says, as a deer pants for water, so his soul pants for the living God. Which means as a deer really wants water after it's gone around the mountains, being very busy, it really wants to be refreshed by the living God. That's a bit similar to a bit of word that God says, my soul finds rest in God alone. So I said last time, your soul is your spirit, and then your mind, will, and emotions. Your spirit found rest in God when you believed the gospel and you got straight with God, you got your sin forgiven. God forgave your sin, made you righteous. The spirit was baptized into Christ, died into Christ, got raised with Christ. The spirit was born again. Your soul inhabits your body, your spirit is the center of your soul. So when you believe Christ died for your sins, and your spirit got born again, made holy, and you got declared to be righteous and you got your sin forgiven. So your spirit found rest in God in that primary way when you believe Christ died for your sins, because you got straight with God. You had peace with God. That's how your spirit found rest. The bit of word of God says your soul finds rest in God alone, so that's all parts of your soul. So I've talked about how your spirit's found rest in God, but that your mind, will, and emotions only find rest in God as well. What I talked about last time was that your mind finding rest in God. So if you find that on a particular day, if you find on a particular day that you feel stressed about a particular thing, then I was told to tell you what I've been told to do, what works, and that thing that I've been told to do is, you know, if there's a particular thing that either you feel you're stressed about, then I've been told to go up to God and say, God, I'll do what you want regarding that. Because basically the thing that you feel stressed about, either God will completely sort it himself, or he will want to use you and his plans to sort it. So, you know, if he sorts it himself, he doesn't need you to do anything. He doesn't need you to do anything anyway, but he may use you to sort the thing out. If he wants to use you to sort the thing out, the place he wants to get you to is where you'll just do what he tells you to do. So, the long way around is you go to God, you talk to him about it, and then you end up getting to the place where you'll tell him that you'll do what you want him to do. I've just been taking a shortcut because I feel I just can't bother to go through all the explaining stuff to him. It's not because, in the past I've talked to him, but I just want to take the shortcut, which is going up to God and say, God, this thing, I'll do what you want me to do. And then he tells me the thing to do. Different way that you can feel that you're stressed, which is, you wake up and you've got a day which contains a lot of things, and you don't know how each of the things is going to go. So it's not just one particular situation you feel stressed about. You've got like five things ahead of you in the day, and you know how any of them are going to go. So again, there's a long way around of sitting down and explaining to God all the stuff that's going to happen. But the thing is, he already knows. You can talk to him like that if you want, and maybe if you talk to him like that, you'll feel what's going to happen and different of the events that are going to take place. But again, the shortcut is, which I've been told to say, is God, you sustained me yesterday, and you'll sustain me today. Which means, God, I acknowledge that yesterday you provided the path for me to walk, and when I made each footstep, it was in your hands, but you'd already, you upheld me in every step you provided. You overall managed the whole day. You know, you provided me a path for everything. So I'm told to say, you did that yesterday, and as far as I'm concerned, you'll do exactly the same thing today. So it's not even asking him to do it, because of course he's going to do it. So he cares more about you than you do. So this thing isn't asking him to do the thing, which it's just, you know, I've been told to say, I know you're going to do the same thing, which you basically declare in faith that you trust God to provide you a path, you know. And those things work. So that's what I've been told to do. So that deals with certain scenarios. If you feel with events, you know, practical events that you feel stressed about things, I want to add a few things to what I said. What I said was complete in its own way last time, but there's two scenarios which you can go to God and it feels like he's being quiet with you. So if you go to God and about a particular circumstance, and you say, I'll do what you want to do, and you feel like he doesn't say anything back, then, you know, the first reason is because he's already told you. And the way he's, in the last 6 months with, well, yeah, stuff to do with, like, me, you're paying my bills, like, 6 months ago, year ago, I'm told to do, and be told to do it a certain way, but God can tell me and tell me and tell me. And if through whatever reason I still ask him, then he tells me quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter, because there's something else going on with God, that he cares about faith. It's faith that pleases God. He gives you the faith, but so it makes sense that if I ask God the same, if God tells me the same thing again and again and again, he gets quieter and quieter and quieter. So I can go to him 15 times and sustain something to me and say, what do you think about this thing? And he'd just be completely quiet, because he's already told me, and I already know the thing. So I'm obviously there's something going on where I'm being attacked about not to do the thing, and that's why I'm going, what is, that doesn't work, but like, what is the thing? That's how you can not have done the thing that he's already told you about 15 times. So if he's quiet, it's because it can be because he's already told you. But there's another way he can be quiet, which is if you go to God, when you turn to God, and the word of God says, when you draw near to God, God draws near to you. So that's a promise. You know, if you go up to God, God will go up to you. So he'll meet you when he wants to, when you want to meet him. But the way it works is that the Holy Spirit gives you the desire to go up to God in the first place. And you can go to God when you want, but there's a scenario in which Satan can try to wind you up about something all day. And it's not God speaking to you, it's Satan trying to wind you up. So you can go to God feeling stressed about something, but it's not an important thing. It's not actually important, even though Satan's trying to whip it up to be very important. And so you can go to God about something and he can be quiet, or like it's quiet stroke, this is what he can say. God can go about job or bill. God can go like leave it at the moment. If I want you to know this thing, then you'll know this thing. So you can go to something that you think's urgent, but it's not urgent with God. God hasn't been speaking to you all day that you need to address this urgent thing. Satan's been speaking to you today, all day, that you need to address this urgent thing. So when you go up to God about this urgent thing, God can go, in a nice way, it's not urgent. In other words, like leave that with me. If I want you to know, if I want you to deal with the thing, I'll tell you. So just leave it with me and go off. Which can, in a certain way, look like he's being quiet. But I'm told to tell you different scenarios, different things that can happen. Because I meant to, so the overall, it comes under the overall thing, like your soul finds rest in God alone. Like your mind, the only place that can give your mind rest is God. And this is practical, how it can work if you feel that you're particularly stressed on a certain day. So that's how practically you can go up to God, and God can give you like rest for your mind. Your emotions, God can give you peace, and God can help you know His love for you when He wants to. So it's the fruits of the Holy Spirit give your emotions peace, it give you rest in God. So your emotions, basically, in the Old Testament the word spirit's not used, but what's used is the word heart. So there's a difference. People say they look God with a heart, or they look God with a soul. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit included. And what I've been told is that your heart is your spirit plus your emotions, so you can feel about you. So regarding God giving you rest for your heart, that is the same as Him giving rest for your spirit. The primary way you can have rest for your spirit is knowing you're accepted by God. God welcomes you because you believe Jesus died for your sins into the household of God, and you're at peace with God. Which is your primary identity. You get rest for your spirit, you get rest for your heart by you knowing, because your spirit is the place that you know stuff from. That you can know, you get rest for your spirit by knowing that you're accepted by God. That's the primary way to rest for your spirit. That's to do with your identity being saint or Christian or member of the church. There's a secondary way your heart can get rest with God. There's a secondary way your heart can get rest from God, and that is to do with your secondary identity, which is not Christian, but it's your part or your purpose in when you walk around, you live your life. You can get a rest from God in that way, and that is you knowing what God's doing with you regarding your part of the body. I want to read out the bit when Simon Peter was fishing, and then Jesus came up to him when he was fishing. So that's what it says. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, and he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing the nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had finished speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering him said, Master, we have worked all night and have taken nothing, and nevertheless at your word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the catch of the fish which they had taken. Basically, Simon Peter and some of the disciples, they fished all night and haven't caught anything. And Jesus turned up and said, If you put your nets down over there, then you'll catch some fish. And Peter said, we have done it all night and we haven't caught anything, but if you say so, we'll do it. So they did it, and then they caught loads of fish to the point where the net broke, and then all the disciples had to help out, put them in the boats, and then the boat started to sink. So they had a massive catch. uh, But Peter's reaction when Jesus said was like, I will analyze this thing like rationally. He said, like, Jesus, we've been working all night and we are fishermen and know our stuff. I don't know anything. And you told us to do this thing. So basically it doesn't make sense what you said. But since it's you, Jesus, we will do it. And they did it, and they caught so much fish that they caught the maximum amount of fish that they could handle. God has this plan for your part God has this purpose for you in the church, under the headship of Christ, to work through your part and give your part the honour of serving God in the way that God has chose you to serve Him through your in ministry in your part. And the thing is, it's all to do with God's plan and God's timing. It doesn't matter how much stuff you do out of your plans, you can't make it work. What's necessary is Christ to call the time and go, it's time, like over there. And you will catch a lot of fish. In the analogy, the fish is fruit of your ministry. And you know, Jesus said, like, evangelism was like going fishing. So, you know, in the church, the biggest fruit that can happen in somebody's ministry is somebody becomes a Christian. So, basically, when Jesus says, you will catch a fish, whatever fish that is for your part, you will catch it. But it will only be when God says, now is the time. When Jesus says, now is the time. And that's it. So, I meant to tell you that, so that irrespective of you and your part in the church and your identity, you can have rest in the knowledge that God has His plans for your part, and He will use you under the headship of Christ to be your part of the body. And the way it's done is that you will bear the fruit that Christ has given you to bear, and that's it. And it will come at the time that God says it will come. But God makes you ready. If you don't think it's going as fast as you think God's promised you, or you think it could do, or like, God has to make you ready to be able to take in a whole load of fish. Because, if, for example, a whole load of people become Christians, you know, within an area, and those Christians are brought in to a meeting, then there's a whole lot of work that has to be done. And you're in the analogy of the different parts are like the different parts of the net, and all the different parts have to be able to withstand the catch of fish. And it seems quite reasonable to me that God can bring up different parts in like waves. So this meeting started out with, you know, three people, and then there's, to those three people, more people were added, you know, that regularly came. It seems quite reasonable to me that in waves, God builds a few people up at the same time. And the way He builds you up is you already have the faith that He requires of you. He just needs to give you a good solid pair of legs that you can handle the catch of fish. And the way that God prepares you to handle the catch of fish is to make you able to withstand a certain weight of catch. And the withstanding is standing. There's only one person to stand against, and stand against Satan. And so God, in your own individual parts, lets you go through certain trials. To faith comes from God, but the way faith is worked out the way faith gets applied to you and goes all the way through, so it's like manifest faith, it's manifest working, walking faith, is that God lets you be put in a situation where you need to exercise the faith that he's given you, which you can only exercise under certain strain, because your flesh will always choose to look after you first. But when you get to the point where you start to realize that you need God's help in dealing with something, then the process is God kills your flesh, he makes your flesh weaker, he makes you less reliant on your flesh by putting you in a place where you like acknowledge that you need God's help for something. That kills your flesh, that makes your flesh weaker, and that means that the faith and manifest faith in God takes over from your weakened flesh, so that manifestly you're instead of relying on yourself, you're relying on God. That's how God makes you more strong in him to deal with Satan. So the faith and the grace to be your part come straight away, but you need to have a pair of legs that match, a pair of legs that can withstand a weight and withstand all the attacks on your part with dealing with the fish. And so the thing that God needs to, you will bear the fruit of your ministry, God will bear the fruit of his ministry in you at his time. Secondarily, one thing he needs to get ready, need in just this is the way he does things, one thing he gets ready before you take that catch of fish is to increase your manifest faith and to give you a big pair of legs, so that when the fish come in and then you have to deal with attacks associated with a new fish, you can, your part can withstand and your part in that doesn't break. So there's a point to your daily practical dealing with rubbish that comes your way. It's not all dealing with rubbish for absolutely no point other than to make it to the next day. God's got his plan. I mean, why does God let Satan attack in the first place? The primary reason is to give you the honor to stand against Satan, give glory to God. Secondly, he has his purpose in building you up in Christ, in stretching your faith in the way that I've explained, giving you a good pair of legs so you can withstand Satan. Because when a load of fish come in, it's like it's a big messy job. They've got loads of stuff. They come in running away from loads of attacks on Satan, and loads of stuff needs to get dealt with. It takes a lot of energy and like a load of different attacks and a load of new attacks. And the way God does it is he makes underneath the headship of Christ, he makes the net a bit bigger, strengthens it, and then the next wave can come in. And then it is to the new net, and it takes them time to get knitted and be quite solid in their parts, and then another wave comes in. That's the way God does things. And so that should give you an idea of what God is doing, what God is doing with you. You know, it's easy for you to be given the grace to be your part, but God needs to kill your flesh in order when your flesh gets killed, your manifest faith increases. God needs to give you a good pair of legs to handle your part standing against attacks of Satan. So but when he bears fruit in your ministry, so what I'm saying is your individual practical day-to-day lives that don't seem much, that don't seem like the individual, what I meant is the individual practical things that don't seem much to do with God, even though you know God looks after you. God works in all of them for his purposes, but one of those purposes is to build and train your part to withstand Satan. So God is still working in you and your part is still God is still having his plans and I'm working his plans for your part, even if things seem to be quiet. That's the thing that I wanted to say. So that piece of knowledge should give you rest that you do have a secondary purpose. Your primary identity is you're a Christian, you're accepted, you remember the household of God. You have a secondary identity though. in that you have your own part, and whether it seems like it or not, God is still working and building up your part. That's what I'm saying. Even in the practical day-to-day stuff, which may not seem much to do with God. So your heart can have rest in that knowledge, because that says that God has still got his plans for you and is still outworking those plans, even if it seems to be a bit quiet at the moment. That's how God can give you rest for your soul, regarding your mind and regarding your emotions. Regarding your will, God gives you rest for your soul. Because according to the word of God, God works in you both to will and to work according to his God's purpose. So God works in you, and that gives you rest for your will. You have knowledge that God, if God wants to do anything through you, in the way that I said, then God does that work, and you don't need to do that work yourself. Right, so I think I finished on that.